Okay, well, hello. We've got Reverend Naomi, as she is now. Wasn't Reverend Naomi when she was last in campaigning meetings. And we got our very own Reverend Adam with us. So the service today is all about climate change and the environment and bits and pieces around that area, with all sorts of members of the church and the campaigning group. We want to talk a bit about climate today, mainly in this. And I guess for me, is a lot of it is quite depressing, as you may have guessed in my previous talks, is actually, even in our best case scenario currently, we are looking at going beyond the 1.5 degree warming, where certainly Pacific Islands said we're using, even years ago, say 1.5 to stay alive. And actually the end of some of those islands is potentially on the cards, even in some of the best case scenarios. Let's start on the negative note. And what are the bits that give you the most concern? What are the darkest moments when it comes to the climate for you?
For me, at the moment, of late, with this challenge, you know, of COVID and COVID-19 and lockdown, I'm really concerned, because in my locality, and I believe in some areas as well, because like yesterday, is it 2 days ago, I had a call from someone in Brentford. I'm talking on my concern, which relates to, you know, fly tipping and where people are not being responsible. I don't know how this is really like growing or raising to a higher level of fly tipping and maybe being irresponsible in terms of taking care of our own environment. You know, our streets, our spaces around in our communities. So of late, this is really an issue. I don't know with others, but I've observed, even when I walk around Lambton Park, I see at the corner, there's so much, you know, rubbish that is just, you know, dumped at the corner of the road, And I say, what is this all about? And has this been a contribution? I'm wondering really what's going on, but it's something so far at the moment that is really aching me, because it's unpleasant. Mm. It is.
I think I get anxious about the fact that, well, with so many things and with the environment, it's people who have the fewest resources to start with who are going to suffer the severest impact in many cases. So people who rely on farming, people who have agricultural jobs, people in island nations that don't have so much money and aren't necessarily the ones making the decisions that lead to huge amounts of pollution and climate change, but will suffer the consequences of sea levels rising and temperature changes and all sorts of things. So I suppose, yes, I get anxious and angry about the injustice of it. And also, I think something that we've talked about a lot in the campaigning group in the past is that balance of individual and corporate action. And it's really important to think about what we can do as individuals, things like not littering, and things like, you know, turning off the lights when we leave the room and all this kind of thing. And that's really important, and it does make a difference. And it's important when we think about how we live in harmony with creation. But I get nervous when I think about the fact that by itself, even if we all do it, is not enough, that we need those decisions to be not only made but followed through by governments across the world. And so the fact that we need to be doing our individual action but also lobbying and campaigning as well, because one by itself is not enough to do what needs to be done.
Personal action, incredibly important. It's people appreciating the environment and not, you know, littering it. How can we stop climate change if we can't even be bothered to get rid of our waste properly? And that's incredibly important. But then it's the systematic changes.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that in the past, Andrew, when we were lobbying about the Paris Agreement, and we were doing that at the same time as thinking as a church about what we can do as individuals, and saying we have to do both these things. We have to hold our politicians to account. We also have to make sure that we're using the right kind of loo paper in the church.
Yeah. Yes, it's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you see, because you see, for me, still I find it hard how people could do, commit themselves into doing bigger things that would call, like Naomi is talking about, okay, the, from the personal to the corporate kind of, you know, response and action. When people cannot simply be responsible to turn off the, you know, a light bulb in a room that they're not using. And then you see that level of lack of understanding or maybe appreciation of how, you know, serious these things are when we're talking of our own environment, our climate, and what we could do, you know, just from that point of view. Mm. You can see how hard it is.
Yes, and sometimes we choose ignorance, don't we? Because it's more comfortable. And I know some of the facts that Andrew has shared with us as a church in the past from the lectern have been so uncomfortable. And I know you've wanted to kind of apologize for sharing those with us, but it's really important that we know them, but it's also really uncomfortable to know them. And so sometimes we choose not to know, I think, or we choose to turn away, because otherwise how do we go about our daily lives?
Yeah.
So there's some of the things, is kind of, how do we, what gives you hope that this might be able to change? Because I think these facts, as you say, are incredibly uncomfortable. We are talking about huge changes to lifestyle and things like that people have got to make. What gives us hope that actually it's worth campaigning for? We might as well just give up. That would be my next question.
I think one of the things that really gives me hope is that I think the pandemic has been awful in so many ways, but it has presented some opportunities as well. And I think it has helped us to realize that there are some things that we just accepted that we couldn't change, that actually don't have to be that way. There's a poet I really like, Harry Baker, and there's a song that he does called "The Way Things Are Is Not the Way They Have to Be." And I feel like the last few months have shown us that the way things are is not the way they have to be. So lots of you know, my husband Luke works with Rough Sleepers in London. And I think many of us just accepted that rough sleeping was a fact of life, an awful one, but a fact of life. And then because of the pandemic, the government said, you need to get everyone off the streets by this weekend, and threw lots of resources at that. And it was possible pretty much. And I think that made us sit up and think, well, actually, do we have to accept rough sleeping as a fact of life? And I think the same could potentially be true about our understanding of climate change and about some of the ways that we relate to the environment. So I know lots of people, their appreciation of nature has just increased during the pandemic, because people, when there was very little else we could do, we could go out for a walk for an hour a day, and people were noticing nature and appreciating it. Mm-hmm. People have noticed the difference that, I know pollution was down by up to 50% in some cities, and yeah, people have started to, you know, appreciate the change in air quality and to think, well, actually, I haven't driven my car for 6 weeks. how do I not just go back to driving my car every day? How do I sustain some of these patterns? And so rather than just going back to the way things were, actually thinking, well, the way things are is not the way they have to be. How do I live in a more environmentally sustainable way with some of the lessons that I've learned during the lockdown? So I think there's an opportunity there that gives me a sense of hope.
Yeah. Rightly, as Naomi is saying, because for me, when we talking of, you know, this a new normal, whatever it will be, whatever it will bring to us. But for me, there's something to say then, for personally, to say, if I'm expecting for something that I would call a new normal. So for me, then, which means I should also, there's a paradigm, kind of a paradigm shift that everyone needs to, not to embrace, to say, so what do I also bring into that new normal? Mm. So there has to be some sense of excitement or, you know, curiosity to say, I want to be part of that new normal, which means being prepared to leave behind certain things or certain behaviors or attitudes. I think some of these challenges is about attitude, because we have been systematic for too long about things. So if I want to face and to get into something that I would regard as a new, whatever it would be, but also let me be part of it and bring in something that would contribute and make, at least bring, you know, a difference. Still, I'm still concerned about the environment, that if I want a new normal in terms of culture, in terms of or pattern or whatever, then even my environment, I would want to bring some contribution that makes me a happy person in that, you know, new whatever space or place. That's what I think, yeah.
Mm. I love that idea that we don't just sit back and wait for the new normal, that actually it's our responsibility to shape that, and that that's something that's exciting and that we should be curious about. I love that.
Which brings me very, very neatly, almost don't have to ask it, is my final question, really, is what can the church do, or we as the church do, to promote that new normal so we don't go back to a new normal that looks disturbingly like our old normal, just with more masks on, which is obviously a fear in some ways, but we have seen things can change overnight, for better or worse in some different ways. So what can we do as a church? Probably should also let you know that the people who are eavesdropping this conversation will also be asked in a sec on the order of service what they think the church should be doing. So this might set them off nicely.
Brilliant. Well, I think there are probably lots of things that you're already doing. It's almost, well, no, it's a year since I left. And when I left, there were various things that were just, that were starting to bed in from the work that the campaigning group and the church as a whole have been doing over a number of years. And there were things that were becoming routine and becoming normal about the way the church operates. And from conversations I've had since then, it sounds like lots of those have become the new normal, which is really exciting. So I suppose I would say when we do get back into our church buildings and there's lots of additional things to think about, things like masks and spacing and hand sanitizer, there's something about not losing those practices that we worked really hard to bed in, things like what kind of cutlery we use, what kind of paper we use, what kind of toilet paper we use, turning off the lights, what we do about the thermostat, how often we talk about the environment in our worship, things like that that had become just part of our rhythm of being. And I think, like Adam said, we have a responsibility to shape the new normal. And although we don't want to just go back to the way things were, there are things from the way things were that we want to protect and make sure we continue. And so continuing those environmentally sustainable practices alongside all the new things that we have to do, I think will be really important.
So then for me, maybe the challenge that I strongly believe that we need really to put across, if we're talking about the church, is where everyone is responsible. But for me, I continue to feel maybe guilty when some people think or associate all these things that we're talking about, you know, with certain people or some committee or some group or some work group, until that point where everybody, you know, like, you know, it's like catching the spirit, catching the fire. So if we all happen to catch the fire, catch the spirit, which means together, then in that togetherness, we want to play, you know, radicalism in terms of the action that we want to do. Because as long as it is a committee or a work group thing, and everybody else will say, oh, what are they saying now? Oh, what are they planning now? So until it's like a fire that everybody catches, say, what are we going to do next? Until that is in everyone to say, what are we going to do next? Then the church is talking.
Mm.
Because we can't talk of what will the church do when certain things are for a task group and others are spectators. Then it's difficult.
Absolutely. Excellent. So this is something we want to be contagious, but in a good way.
Yeah, contagious. Yes.
Yeah.
A more positive pandemic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I just wanted to say thank you for letting me be a part of this. I think the campaigning group and the efforts of the wider church on issues like this is one of the things that I really miss about Bell Road. So I'm sending you all lots of love, and thank you for letting me be a part of your worship today.
Yes, I just want to thank you as well for organizing and making arrangements for this, you know, worship that is going to be led by, you know, campaign group on the theme that we are all stewards. Please, I want to end on that note that we are all stewards. Let us continue to be faithful stewards as in terms of, you know, caretaking, you know, God's creation, God's nature and our environment, so that then God will smile as he looks, you know, at us doing his mission. So let's do this with courage and boldness. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both of you.